This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Nation, what comes up this hour includes the latest rhetoric, the war of words from the campaign trail. Also, the emotions running high, but in a very good way, at a sports award show that I think kind of shows the mood of where the country's going, believe it or not. And all of this for a network that named an award after, you know, after its network. I was flipping around. I happened to catch it. Somebody started, not one person, but a couple of people started to text me about it. So I flipped over and I was pleasantly surprised by what I came across. So we'll also chat about that during this hour of America Tonight as we zig and zag in a couple of different directions. But always right at the top, Talk Media News, Justin Duckham joins us from that organization. And, you know, Justin, I was, I said this, that people were telling me, watch the ESPYs, watch the ESPYs. And, of course, I was not watching any TV, and I flipped over to it. And there were some pretty big athletes like LeBron James talking about what could be done to heal the nation that is divided. And I'm wondering, what is the conversation in Washington about what happened in Minnesota, what happened in Louisiana, and, of course, in Dallas, Texas?
Well, basically, it's an acknowledgement that something needs to be done. It's this sort of notion that there needs to be a bridge of trust between the police and the communities they serve. And there's sort of a recognition that, you know, we obviously can't have a country in which police officers have a target on their back, but we also can't have a country in which we have, you know, young men, young black men who are essentially, you know, killed by police over, you know, false circumstances or whatnot, over, you know, basically being innocent. So it's sort of a middle of the road sort of recognition that's being, you know, struck very hard in D.C. That's something that Obama has spoken about today. Today he met, he met with law enforcement personnel, and then today he met with activists on the Black Lives Matter side of the aisle, and, you know, kind of said that there probably wasn't agreement, but at least this discussion has started, and at least this is taking the forefront. So this is likely going to be something that the president is going to be focusing on his final days, considering how this really is probably going to be sort of the hallmark of his administration.
Boy, I certainly agree with that. In the meantime, the man who wants to be president, Donald Trump, representing the Republicans, and he'll officially, you know, become the nominee at the Republican convention. The story was broke today that he is suing somebody who worked on his campaign, a former campaign aide, for $10 million for leaking information and breaching a confidentiality agreement. And the guy's name is Sam Nunberg. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, this is Sam Nunberg. He did work on the Trump campaign for a you know, small amount of time. He was fired for a number of you know, racially charged Facebook posts that he made. And essentially, as you mentioned, this is Trump going after him because he apparently, according to Trump, violated the non-disclosure agreement that he fought, that he had with his company. This was a lawsuit that was initially you know, filed on May 28th, but is coming back in the news now because of the, you know, countersuit that's going on with Nunberg and the fact that that was filed in New York courts and is, you know, really getting a lot of attention. And, of course, this could not probably come at a worse time for Trump, considering that he is about to unveil his VP pick on Friday. He is about to head into the convention where, you know, the spotlight's really going to be on him. And this is something that, you know, obviously serves as a pretty big distraction, not just because this is something that raises questions about what kind of, you know, treatment he would show towards his, you know, opponents in the White House, but also sort of the, you know, kind of dirty, nitty-gritty stuff that comes out with this lawsuit. Apparently, Nunberg mentioned that Trump was apparently trying to conceal the fact that there was a, you know, inappropriate relationship and affair that was being had by two senior staffers, something that was alluded to in a New York Post article in which, you know, Hope Hicks, the communications director for Trump, apparently got in a shouting match with Corey Lewandowski, the former Trump campaign manager. And that is also going to, you know, certainly probably take center stage considering how this kind of scandal was obviously just kind of cat bait going into this convention.
Yeah, and you mentioned that the VP search is going to be over by Friday because the Trump campaign is saying they're going to announce who it is. We know that Christie, the governor of New Jersey, the former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, is on the list. Pence is on the list. What do you hear coming out of Washington?
You know, a lot of people are saying different things. It seems to switch every hour depending on what advisor you're talking to over which way. You know, Trump's gut is leaning at any given moment. But one thing that we are going to be looking closely at is what time the press conference is going to be scheduled. Mike Pence has until noon on Friday in order to file, you know, paperwork essentially saying that he is not going to be running for governor. That would give the party time to find somebody else to fill in that seat. So if it's a press conference assigned for after, that's going to raise some, you know, speculation. That's probably not going to be him. It's also going to... and also, if it takes place after 12, people are going to be watching very closely to see, you know, if Pence files the paperwork or not. So this is going to be kind of the key indicator if it's going to be him. Otherwise, it looks like it's going to be Gingrich or Christie, two people who obviously would be very strong attack dogs for Donald Trump, but also probably would not hold up to as much heavy vetting as either Christie or, you know, Gingrich would, considering that they both have sort of you know, long paper trails and whatnot, and something that Pence would likely avoid.
Yeah, but about Hillary Clinton, yesterday we were talking about the fact that now Bernie Sanders has endorsed her and is trying to push his people, so to speak, maybe delegates, but also young people that rallied and came out in huge numbers for him over to her side. Now this is sort of day two of that. Do you think we're going to see him actively? He said he was going to campaign for. Are we going to actively see him really pushing the Clinton mantra?
You know, that's something that we see in politics all the time, this sort of you know, statement that you're going to actively campaign for somebody. And typically that you know, equates to a couple of speeches, maybe lending your email list, maybe shooting off an email blast to your supporters. I don't think we're necessarily going to be seeing Sanders taking to the campaign trail with as much fury as he obviously did for himself. But, you know, at this point, you know, he's likely going to get a convention speaking spot. We're likely going to hear him reiterate for a primetime audience the speech that he gave, you know, on Tuesday when he endorsed Hillary Clinton. But, you know, even when Clinton was thoroughly endorsing Obama back in 2008, that really, frankly, didn't amount to much. And that's just sort of a... Sort of one of those Washington words that's just kind of passed around, kind of like the phrase, my good friend, which really is just kind of an empty phrase that means anything.
That's true. All right, Justin Duckham, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you. You have a good one.
You too. It's funny how Justin says it. It's true. What does that mean when somebody says they're going to actively campaign for them? However, you heard him mention the fact that we're going to see Bernie Sanders. Wouldn't be shocking in a primetime spot on the Democratic floor, giving it, well, on the stage, giving a speech, and that was probably part of the negotiating deal, and they probably wanted him to do that too as well. Coming up, Derek Green from Project 21, Black Conservative Point of View on what's happening in this country. Hey, Delaney, America Tonight.
Today. How to incorporate your business in just 10 minutes so you won't lose everything if you get sued. Step 1. Stop putting it off. If you're not incorporated and someone sues your business tomorrow, it's not just your business at risk. You can lose everything. Your home, your car, even your life savings. Step 2. Call the following number for a free 10-minute incorporation guide from Incorporate.com. 1-800-941-5257. They don't provide legal or financial advice. They just make incorporating quick and easy. So you can incorporate or form an LLC in just 10 minutes. That number again is 1-800-941-5257. Step 3, congratulate yourself. By taking just 10 minutes to incorporate your business or form an LLC, you protected your home, your car, and your life savings. And that is how you incorporate your business in just 10 minutes. But hurry while they're still giving away these 10-minute incorporation guides for free. Call 1-800-941-5257. That's 1-800-941-5257.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Think about this. Your community's aging water infrastructure systems are very likely to be contaminated with heavy metals like lead, disinfection chemicals like ammonia, chlorine and chloramines, and pharmaceuticals like statins, pain meds, and antidepressants.
And no, water treatment plants are not equipped to filter these pharmaceutical toxins out.
Protect your family's water supply with a trusted Big Berkey water filter. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show Big Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria, and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market, the gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey water filters for the love of clean water.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Sitting on a million, sitting on it every day. Can't make no money giving your stuff away. Why don't you do right like the millionaires do? Put your stuff on the market and make a million too. Face a betting woman, she bets on every head.
Welcome back to America Tonight as we continue to talk about what's happened in Dallas, Texas last week. It's been just really over a week coming up here, and some of those funerals have started. I know not too far from me, we were talking about that earlier in the day, and besides Dallas, of course, Minneapolis, and also in Louisiana as well. And now the discussions that have occurred, and of course, President Obama's speech at one of the services, at the big service in Dallas, really the memorial for the five officers who were killed in Dallas, you know, again, just a week ago, and people still trying to sort it all out. Derek Green, one of our favorites from Project 21, joins us now. Hi, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm excellent. I've kind of been in the middle of what's happening here in Dallas. I live just down the street from, you know, what happened last week. So I guess the first question is your thoughts on Obama really kicking the door open and having this discussion, I guess, about race and relations in America at that venue, the Meyerson Center, for the memorial for the officers just a day ago. What do you think his words had any impact at all? Do you think what he said was the right thing to say or no?
You know, I think that his words had an impact on people who happen to think along the same lines as the president. So I think that, you know, his supporters and those who share his ideological outlook on the world saw it as a positive. You know, me personally, I didn't really think that was the venue to inject some of the things that he said. I mean, you know, when you go to a eulogy, especially one for cops, the way they died in that manner, you know, you have a eulogy because people want to know that you understand them in their time of grief. They want to identify with people who understand their situation. They want to mourn and want to know that the people who died, with their loved ones who died, you know, didn't die in vain. You know, and when they died in the manner in which they died, you know, they're probably questioning that. And so I think that for the president to go there, I think that, you know, the first probably 25% of what he said was really good and reaffirming. But I just think that he descended away from that, and it kind of undermined what he should have said and what he should have continued to say in that venue.
Yeah, and as you say, what he should have said. What do you think he should have said?
Well, I just don't think that he should have continued to say that, you know, that these officers made sacrifices. They do an extreme, you know, cops do a thankless job. You know, we ask them to do a lot. We don't give them the credit they deserve, and then we want to put restraints on them. And so I think that he should have continued along the line of the way that they sacrificed for, you know, in a sense of the greater good. You know, they put their lives on the line, obviously for people who did not care. He brought up the fact that the lady brought her son to the Black Lives Matter march to you know, in essence, inculcate him in the type of mentality that's shared by Black Lives Matter. And the same cops that she was going there to shout at and stand against shielded her after she was shot. You know, and that's the type of thing that he should have continued to say, that these cops do these types of things for people who don't give them credit or for people who don't like them. And so I think he should have continued on that. I don't think he should have, you know, said, you know, racism still exists even among the cops. I mean, it's a stated point that people know. They don't need to hear it in that venue. They don't need to hear any type of politicization about guns or any other that type of stuff. That stuff is reserved for another time. This right here is to embrace people who've lost loved ones and kind of know that you understand their grief and you're there for them.
Yeah. As that unfolded last week, first, you know, we had what happened tragically in, you know, Minneapolis, and then we had the incident in Baton Rouge, which was terrible, and then, of course, ultimately the worst is, as well, equally, what happened in Dallas. What were your thoughts?
You know, it was sad, and, you know, it's the summertime, and it seems like these incidents are kind of publicized a lot during the summer because it might be a slow news cycle and that type of thing.
Oop, I think that we lost Derek Green there for a second. We'll get him back, but talking about, you know, trying to talk about, and there is no making sense of, but talk about what happened in these three cities, which were very different incidents, obviously. Terrible to look at the video from any of them, whether it's the live video that was taken in Minneapolis or in the death of Castillo, or whether it's obviously the terrible video of the bullets that were ringing out and bouncing around all over the place, and ultimately all the cops that were injured and the five that died. The trying to put it in perspective of, okay, what really truly needs to happen in the country, or what is happening, and the politics of it. As he mentioned, the politicizing of it. What is it that what is it that we do as a nation? So we have Derek Green again back with us. Derek, I was asking you, what were your thoughts when all that was happening last week? I think we have Derek with us. Derek, what were your thoughts from last week?
Yes.
What were your thoughts from last week? Yeah.
Yeah, it was, you know, like I said, it was something that was kind of disconcerting. This type of thing seems to happen a lot in the summer. And, you know, kind of seeing what was going on, it kind of burdened me a little bit, because as these incidents continue to happen, people who have a predetermined narrative seek to jump to conclusions that may or may not, you know, be true simply to fit that predetermined narrative. So what we've seen the last several summers is that they see a fragmented video of somebody getting shot. Our hearts can go out to the family members who lost loved ones who were shot, but to jump to conclusions to say, see, these cops are predatory, they're going out, they're racist, they're killing black men, you know, so they can go out and chant. I just don't like it. I don't like it. And for me, it seems like it's one of those things that, you know, there's a certain segment of black America who want to kind of get riled up and go out and protest and, you know, engage in what I kind of call racial temper tantrums, because it seems like for some, this is the only time that America pays attention to black, is when we're throwing racial temper tantrums and we're saying that we're victims. Otherwise, the country kind of just doesn't pay attention to us. And so it's a psychological thing for me. And I just don't like to see, you know, blacks engaging in that type of thing. I like us to say, let's wait with the facts. If these cops did this and they were wrong, let's prosecute them, right? That's how you weed out the bad cops. But
yeah,
to jump to conclusions, and then, you know, what has happened so often is that cops have been exonerated. It just makes us, you know, it kind of reinforces kind of a childlike reputation for black Americans. And it just doesn't do us any good, because what it ends up doing is that it makes us look silly. But that throughout the process, it continually builds up a very tangible level of racial resentment from our racial counterparts in America.
Yeah, well said. Project 21, Derek Green, thank you so much for coming on the air with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me back.
So we talk about, again, the fact that it's just barely been a week, and the grappling with, as Derek said, the facts. How about that? Some of the facts still not all out yet. They're investigating everything they can possibly find in Dallas, but in the other cities too as well, and in those incidents between the cops and both of those black men and what had happened to them. Stay with us. Much more coming your way on the flip side.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
If you're considering going back to school, ask yourself the following questions. Do you need the flexibility to take classes on your schedule? Do you have college credits you need transferred? Do you want to earn a quality degree from a world-renowned university? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Arizona State University is the perfect school for you. Arizona State University offers over 100 highly ranked degree programs 100% online. You'll earn the same degree as you would on campus, from wherever you are, on your schedule. Plus, ASU Online accepts most transfer credits. For information, call 1-800-933-1430. Learn for yourself why the Wall Street Journal ranks ASU fifth in the nation for producing the best qualified graduates, and why 90% of ASU grads are recruited within 90 days of graduation. Learn to grow, learn to succeed, and learn to thrive at Arizona State University. To learn more about ASU Online degrees, call 1-800-933-1430. That's 1-800-933-1430.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Many Americans suffer from poor digestion, which can adversely affect their health.
For you guys who have digestive issues, glutathione is amazingly important for inflammatory bowel disease, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease, stomach cancer. The glands of the stomach produce lots of glutathione. So glutathione's got multiple roles to play, and one of the best ways to upregulate to make more glutathione is to take the building blocks, glycine being one of the most important of the building blocks for making glutathione. Your ultimate enzymes contain something called trimethylglycine. We know it as betaine. We talk about betaine as an important ingredient for acidification, for keeping the pH of the stomach nice and low. But betaine can also help you make glutathione.
Help your body build glutathione. Order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470, or on the web at brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com. Order today.
Officers who were killed are being eulogized in private ceremonies and being buried, leaving behind a total of 12 children. The applications for wanting to be a police officer in Dallas have gone through the roof. Yet it has to be one of the trickiest times, or most perilous, as they said in the Los Angeles Times, to be a police officer in this country, you know, period. And I was looking at some statistics, and I've said this before, that I have some family members that are police officers and have had in the past. But with the Dallas shootings, 26 cops have died in the line of duty so far this year, compared to 18 who died at this point in 2015. These statistics come from the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund. The increase is always concerning, of course, because that number needs to be as low as possible. Wouldn't it be great if we lived in a utopian world where we didn't even have that? Why would we have a statistic? Because it rarely happens. But that's not the world, and that's not the world we lived in even a decade ago. But being targeted is really changed policing dramatically. an officer in St. Louis was shot from behind and critically injured during a traffic stop while he was walking back to his patrol car last Friday, the day after the Dallas shooting. And a direct attack on a cop is not uncommon. Like I said, it used to be that wouldn't have happened because nobody wanted to go to jail and wanted to be tried and wanted to go to jail for shooting a cop. That same day in Georgia, a shooter lured an officer to his house with a 911 call, then opened a fire. The man, who was a recovering drug addict, said he wanted the police to shoot him as he wanted to die, and that's the reason why he made, you know, that phone call. So the scenarios are all different, but the violence is certainly out there. And when you're a police officer, this is what you know, serve and protect, and there is that possibility. There's the saying about making sure you finish your shift and come home after your shift. And now I think because of the moving targets that seem to be on police officers' backs, it's created a climate in some areas where the pay is just not great and there's no room to maneuver in that direction. And the attitudes are so rough that many who might have served are saying, yeah, I don't think so. But we see in Dallas the surge of people who are answering the call from the chief of police who said, we need people who care, we need more people, and we're always looking. And said it much more eloquently and said it several times, and boy, his words really, really resonated, because if you think, certainly there wouldn't be, not everybody who calls and inquires is qualified or could do it, but you would assume that maybe as among a batch of hundreds and hundreds, there would be some that could be future police officers. What's always very heartening to me, and what I've seen is the way, and I'm not surprised by this, is the way police officers have each other's backs. And certainly in Dallas, immediately so many others in so many other areas came to the aid of the city and to the department itself. So there have been a lot of other departments in neighboring cities and neighboring states that have reached out, and I think, if anything, in Dallas, they certainly need that, as crime scenes are still being processed, almost wrapped up, but still being processed, and some streets are still closed off as a reminder of just how ugly and awful it got at the hands of a shooter who was trying to take out as many police officers as possible just a week ago. And in the race relations department, because, you know, we always have polls on that sort of thing, there was a poll that showed that race relations are at the lowest point in the Obama presidency. We're just talking to Derek Green about that, about what Obama had to say and was it the right venue and whatnot. 69% of Americans say race relations are generally bad, one of the highest levels of discord since the 1992 riots in Los Angeles during the Rodney King case. Now, this is a Los Angeles Times CBS News poll. That poll was conducted from Friday, the day after the killing of the Dallas police officers, until Tuesday. 6 in 10 Americans say race relations are growing worse, up from 38% a year ago. So racial discontent is at a very high point in the Obama presidency, and at the same level as after the riots that were touched off after the acquittal of Los Angeles police officers charged in the Rodney King beating. And you have to really go back in your mind, I think, to remember. And maybe for some people, you can barely remember that, depending on your age. But when the poll asked the participants whether the police in most communities are more likely to use deadly force against a black person than a white person, three-quarters of African-Americans answered yes, and only about half as many white people agree. 56% of whites say that the race of the suspect made no difference in the use of force. Only 18% of black Americans said so. And here's what I found really interesting. When they were asked to rate the job of their local police department, how they were doing, 4 in 5 whites said excellent or good. A majority of blacks answered fair or poor. More than 2/5 of black people say the police in their communities make them feel more anxious than safe. So that's an interesting number. That's a very sad number, as a matter of fact. And again, this is a poll. It's a small sampling, and every community is different. But this is what we're certainly hearing and discussing. The Black Lives Matter movement has given a younger group of people, as the president of the National Urban League said, a voice in civil rights, and the police are a flashpoint. But the bigger situation is the issues. The criminal justice system, is it broken? What about the high unemployment rate among African Americans? What about a myriad of things that are happening in the U.S.? So I think the poll is intriguing. I think race relations and communities, the amount of communities that you have in the United States, and many of you can answer this question in your own area. Some are doing a very good job. Some have outreach programs and are trying to figure out ways to cut down as crime as much as possible, and to try to reach out to the disenfranchised and try to figure out, okay, what is it we need to do? But every nook and cranny has a different perspective, has a different flavor, if you will, because it depends on what city, what suburb, what small town you're talking about. There are thousands of them in the United States, thousands. Where I grew up is different from the 15 places that I've lived in my lifetime. Different states, different people in the areas, and perceptions that are brought into those areas that are absolutely colored by the way you brought up and your experience, in the way you were brought up and your experiences, without a doubt. So I think polls are tough, because where are we in this poll that was taken, the Time CBS poll? That's a small sampling, but are we talking about a completely urban area? Are we talking about the South, the Southwest, the North, the Northeast, the furthest point possible in the U.S.? Versus the New England states, and all of that absolutely affects your sympathies, your passions for certain people and areas. No doubt about it. All right, we're going to go light coming up next. We need some funny. Thanks to all of you. Dumb things I shouldn't have done.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Kiss your credit card debt goodbye. I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you how to achieve financial peace, creating an extra income that will last for years to come by joining Dr. Wallach's crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com, or call 866-257-3105 for a recorded message.
Have you ever thought you'd like to flip houses but didn't know how or where to get the money? Are you ready to be your own boss so you can start living the good life? Hi, I'm Preston Ely. I used to be so broke. I had my electricity turned off 9 times, but I figured out a way to quit my job and find financial freedom in real estate. For a limited time, I want to send you a free copy of my smash hit selling book, How to Get Rich in Real Estate. It shows you how to copy exactly what I did so you can make money from the comfort of your own home without even doing any manual labor. I've already given away 5,000 books and they're going fast. To get one before they're gone, call 1-800-958-9859. Listen, if you're sick and tired of stressing about money, this book could change your life. It's short, fun to read, easy to understand, and awesome. To find out how to get your free book while supplies last, call 1-800-958-9859. Call 1-800-958-9859. 1-800-958-9859.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 He's hired.
I'm hired.
He's hired.
I hope I don't get fired.
He's hired.
In 40 years I'll be retired. But for now I'm simply hired.
He's hired. He's hired. He's hired. He's hired.
I got a job today.
He's hired.
I'm selling Chevrolet.
He's hired.
I'm bringing home good pay.
He's hired.
I just got hired.
He's hired. He's hired. He's hired. He's hired.
He got a
clever,
job
very
today.
Clever.
He's selling Chevrolet.
Oh, time for some fun. And boy, a lot of you, I've been saving these up, a lot of you have continued to send me the dumb things you shouldn't have done. So as I mentioned, I've been collecting them. It's time to let them free. Here's our latest edition of Dumb Things I Shouldn't Have Done.
Dumb, 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 dumb.
What did my mother always say about taking care of my eyes?
Well, first of all, never put salt in your eyes.
Never put salt. Never put salt.
Never put salt.
Put salt.
Put salt. Put salt.
Put salt.
Never put.
Never.
Never.
Always put salt in your eyes.
Emmy, never ever put salt in your eyes.
Thanks, Daddy. You owe the pain.
Dum 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 dum.
Dum dum.
Oh, you gotta love that. This one from Brian, listening to us, he says, in Washington. And the way he's got Washington written, I'm assuming it is, yes, Washington, the state. Kate, I laughed so hard in the past, it's been a while, when I heard dumb things, and I think I can pretty much match everything that has been mentioned on the show so far. I have done that and then some. I don't know if anybody's mentioned this one, but the worst, I believe, it was when I was dating my wife. I try to be Joe Cool. I was semi-athletic, but she was probably a much better skier than I was. So when we went skiing together, we rode and had a wonderful time going up on the lift line. You know, in other words, going in the chair, going to the top. We were at a Black Diamond Trail, which that wasn't a problem for me. It was getting off of the chair where I consistently fell. I guess trying to be the cool dude, I jumped out every single time and fell on my rear end every single time and was chastised by the guys at the top who would say, just glide, man, just glide. So needless to say, she still married me anyway, and to this day I'm okay at exiting a chairlift, but I'm still not the best. Yeah, for people who don't ski, it is weird. I think it's weird, so I'll kind of defend you. You feel like you want to jump out of it, and you do have to just glide. You just put your skis down and glide off and get out of the way. But there are people who jump off and dump down. I've done that. I only did it once. I was in Vermont. It's been a long time since I've skied, but I was in a place called Killington in Vermont, and I just couldn't get it through my head that I wanted to just, boom, jump out, and then I would fall, and they would have to stop the line, and so I totally get it. It is a dumb thing, because they are right when they scream at you just to glide. You just let your feet touch the top when you're there, and you just glide off of, you just glide off of the chair. It's that easy. So it is a dumb thing, because you see kids that are pints, you know, they're little, they're like probably 5 and 6, and they very easily do it. You see older people, you see all kinds of people do it, but you have to glide, not jump. That's the key. Okay, how about this one? This one is from Wes, and Wes revealed to us, Kate and the people of dumb things I shouldn't have done. Dumb things I shouldn't have done is go out with my buddies, drink a whole bunch of beer, which was very fun at the time, and go deep sea fishing, but refuse to put on any suntan lotion. I didn't need it. It was kind of an overcast day. Get that stuff out of my face anytime someone passed it to me. I didn't want oily hands dealing with pulling in whatever fish were on the other side of the line. So I was a lobster the next day. I didn't catch many fish, but I turned into a lobster without a doubt. It was stupid because, of course, what's the big deal in rubbing a little suntan lotion on yourself to protect yourself from the rays of the sun that turn you into a red monster? Okay, so yes, I am sure many of us have done that. Nathan, if you're there and not running to the stack machine, have you ever gotten a sunburn because you just refused to put on suntan lotion? He might have went to the stack machine. I'm just guessing. So, I think many of us do that, where if it is, especially he mentioned it's an overcast day, sometimes the sun is the worst then, but it's overcast, so you think, I'm not going to get burned, and before you know it, you are crispy critter. I did that once, and that was enough for me, where it was an all-day kind of thing, and I thought, nah, I'm kind of tannish. I don't really need it. If I put any on, it was like a dab or something, but I should have, because that burn is the worst. Who wants to get that burn now? Especially we see people with melanoma and the problems of that. All right, how about Doug? Doug says, Kate, dumb things I shouldn't have done. Do you ever think that you were more athletic than you were or in better shape? I went on a mountain bike ride with my friends. Oh, I was great. up until we got to about 20 miles. And then I realized with the hills that were up and down, I was going to have to go back. The thought of it made me queasy. Somehow, some way, I made it. But I was the laughingstock as I was far behind the rest of the crew. So I learned the lesson. If you can't cut it, just don't go along for the ride. I totally get it. Yes, you probably were exhausted after the ride. There's two ways to look at that. One, it could be good because you stretched yourself, or two, it could be bad because it was too much and you really shouldn't have done that. And especially mountain biking, because you're probably talking about, if you're saying it was kind of the same trail on the way there and the way back, if your legs are spent and you've got to figure out a way to get some juice and get up some hills, big hills, little hills, whatever, it's tough. I cannot tell you the last time I really took that kind of a bike ride, but I've been there where I've done that, not probably to the level that that you did it. Here's Trevor. Kate, dumb things I shouldn't have done. The dumbest thing I think I've done, although maybe I take that back, it might not be the dumbest, but one of the dumb things that I did in my lifetime is trust that the dog would stay in the car when I rolled the windows down all the way to run into the store. Instead, our family lion, as I call him, jumped out of the window, was causing chaos in the parking lot, cars near missing him, while I was inside lollygagging around, casually shopping for whatever food items were on my wife's list. So by the time I got back to the car, a red-faced kid had grabbed his collar, and I realized it was my dog and ran after him, ran to the kid, and got my dog back. But I could tell people were not happy with what had happened. That is a dumb moment. Roll the windows all the way down? I don't think so. Unless your dog just will not move and is like a statue, like those mannequins used to be. All right, thanks for all the dumb things. You can send them to me, americatonight.net.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
The investment world isn't fair. A precious metals trader buys gold and silver at spot price. You pay his price plus fees, costs, and shipping. But today, you don't. Today, JM Bullion offers a 10-ounce bar of pure silver at spot price. No fees, no markups, no shipping. Invest in something real, not Wall Street paper. 10 ounces of silver at spot price. Visit realpricesilver.com for this limited time offer. One per household, 50 United States only. Realpricesilver.com.